I love the Christmas story. Anybody like the Christmas story? Come on. And it's about, you know, the birth of Christ, the manger. And there's a lot of things we can get out of the information that we have around the birth of Christ and, you know, what went on in his family, around his family, around the people who visited the manger scene, all of those kind of things. And today we want to talk a little bit from that story in Matthew chapter 1. So if you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to invite you to open it up to Matthew chapter 1. And we're going to kind of read through the birth of Christ. Obviously, Matthew chapter 1, the first part of Matthew chapter 1 is about the genealogy, the things that happened before he was born. And then we pick up in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, about the birth of Jesus and what happened in that particular time. So that's kind of where we're going to be today as we move into this time to look at the story. Now, what I do know is all of us experience unexpected things in life. If you live long enough, sometimes those unexpected things are good, and other times they're very difficult, right? Huh? And we oftentimes have things come in our life that are unexpected, and we're like, man, that was pretty awesome. Kind of like at a Christmas celebration when you were a kid, and maybe you got an unexpected toy or present, and you're like, that's incredible. I wasn't expecting that, but I think it's pretty awesome, and I think it's pretty incredible, and you celebrate that. But other times, tragic things come into our life that are unexpected, and, you know, we can respond to those things in a very negative way sometimes. But today, I want to talk about how to respond to the unexpected, whether it's good or bad. And what I am learning and have learned a little bit on my journey with God as I've been following him now for, you know, probably about 25 years, as I've been following God, I've learned on my journey so much about how he can take unexpected things and he can begin to do amazing things through those unexpected things. And it would be things that I never dreamed or imagined. I've learned that my plans aren't always the best plans, that oftentimes his plans are better than my plans. In other words, the Bible says his ways are higher than my ways. But it's not about the events that happen. Really what God wants to grow in all of us is he wants to grow our faith that we have in him, and he will use the circumstances and the events to do that. But we have to respond to God. And again, we can respond to things in our life negatively, or we can respond to them with trust and gratitude and possibly move forward if we choose to do that. And today, I want to look at this story because it's amazing, because this story reveals to us that Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Joseph, they kind of had an unexpected thing to happen in their life. The Bible says they had planned to get married. It says it this way in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. It says, this is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. It says, Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. In other words, they were planning to get married. They were dreaming about the future. They were engaged, and they were probably thinking about life happily there ever after. Anybody in here engaged to get married currently right now? Come on. Yeah, awesome, fantastic. We got a few in this service. Wasn't too many last service, but hopefully we'll have a few weddings this year, right? It'd be incredible, phenomenal. Whenever you plan to get married, you know, and you're engaged to somebody, you're hoping for great things. You're dreaming for great things, possibly a great marriage, great relationship, possibly family, eventually grandkids, all of these variations of things. And Joseph and Mary were hoping for a great marriage. They were dreaming and planning for a great marriage. The Bible continues there in verse 18, and it says this. It says, but. See, a but can change everything. It says, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. See, this sounds like to me, a dream that turned to a disaster. Because they were dreaming to get married. The Bible says that Mary was a virgin. Joseph had planned to marry her maybe in a couple of months, but now she shows up and she's pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, stick with me for just a moment, because I don't know if anybody's ever experienced an unexpected event in their life that it showed up differently than you thought that things should be. But this is the circumstance that Joseph is in. He wasn't planning on being the earthly father of the Son of God. He wasn't thinking about that. He was thinking about getting married. He was thinking about life happily there ever after. He was thinking about his fiance, Mary. But all of a sudden, unexpectedly, she shows up and she's pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, that caught Joseph off guard. And I don't know what kind of situation may have caught you off guard, but we've all had unexpected situations and circumstances in our life. And we can respond in numerous ways to these unexpected circumstances and situations. Maybe for you, it was you planned to get through with high school, go to college for 4 years, get out, you know what, and land that incredible job that was going to pay you $250,000 a year. And unexpectedly, you got a job. And they said, nah, you're gonna start for $20,000 a year. And you're like, man, I thought because I got this super education, I was gonna land one thing, but I landed another. Has it ever occurred to you that that wasn't what you expected, but that unexpected thing that happened in your life could be a gift? It could be a gift to grow you. It could be a gift to challenge you. It could be a gift to build something in you. That is amazing. Some people, you know, they dream about a relationship. But unexpectedly, you know, whenever before they get married, like Mary and Joseph did, something happens. Maybe it's something tragic. Tough things happen, and those unexpected things happen, and that relationship falls apart. Some people, you know, may have dreamed about having those perfect friends. But unexpectedly, those perfect friends didn't turn out to be friends at all. They actually may have said some things about you, done some things to hurt you. And that unexpected friendship that you dreamed about showed up one way. And now inside of you, it's very, very difficult for you to trust anybody else. Because someone has done something to you and now you won't trust anybody else. So the reality of it is unexpected things come into all our lives one way or another. And how we choose to respond to those unexpected events really can begin to either grow our faith or it can begin to grow our fear. In other words, God wants our faith to grow, no matter what the circumstance is, what the challenge is. God doesn't make all things happen in our life, but God will take all things that do happen in our life. And the Bible says he'll begin to use it for good if we'll choose to trust him with our life, and he will fulfill his purpose with those things that go on in our life. The enemy wants certain things to harm us, but God can use all things to build our faith in who he is and build something into us if we'll choose to trust him. But many times we don't respond correctly to the unexpected events. We respond in negative ways instead of positive ways. And, you know, we can respond sometimes angrily to things, but the Bible says everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Other times we can think about quitting whenever certain things happen. You know, I have this shovel up here today, and the reason I have this shovel up here is because before, in my early adult years, for many years, I lived on the backside of one of these. In other words, I was a human backhoe. But the interesting thing is, it wasn't what I always dreamed about, was hanging on to the handle of this shovel. But this shovel taught me a lot about life. And this shovel taught me a lot about how to respond to unexpected things in my life. And what do I mean by that? Well, I had a landscaping business, and oftentimes I had to dig holes, plant bushes, and do all these kind of things. But where my business was over in Middle Georgia. And I don't know how many of you know much about the state of Georgia, but in Middle Georgia, they have something called red clay. And red clay is very, very difficult sometimes whenever it's dry to break through with a shovel. And, you know, whenever you land a shovel in red clay over in Georgia, it's not like this sandy loam soil around here. I watch them dig holes and footers and things over on our church property. I'm like, dude, y'all have it so easy. Because in that red clay, once you stuck the shovel down, you know, you would hit hard ground and you had to make a decision to put pressure on that shovel and dig through the hard stuff in order to get through the hard pan, they called it, in order to get to the good soil so that you could plant something and it would grow. But whenever you hit that hard dirt, you could make a decision. And some people would make a decision when they dug in that hard dirt, they just get mad at the shovel and just get angry and, you know, throw the shovel, you know? And the reality of it is, and this is where a lot of people are with God. They're like, God, this is too hard. And because it's hard, you know what? I'm gonna get angry. I'm gonna get mad at you. I'm gonna get mad at the other person. I'm gonna get mad at my life. I'm gonna get mad at my circumstances. And I'm just gonna get angry and I'm gonna throw the shovel. I'm gonna throw my life. And then, you know, there would be a lot of other people that would be a little bit more gentle. And, you know, they would get ready to dig and you can make a choice either to break through the hard stuff, keep digging, or you could just lay it down, give up, quit, and walk away. See, that's where a lot of people are, right? As a matter of fact, that's where Joseph was to begin with in the story. He just wanted to quit. Again, think about this. This unexpected event happened in his life. He was engaged to Mary to get married, but all of a sudden, the Bible says that she shows up and she's pregnant. Joseph didn't know what to think about this because in his culture, that would have been a disgrace to her. And in his culture, that would have made people think bad about him. And the Bible goes on to say there in Matthew chapter 1, verse 19, as Joseph got this news, Joseph, her fiance, he was a good man, but he didn't want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. That's what he was thinking. I'll just quit and walk away. This is going to be way too hard to keep pressing forward. And he considered putting her away. In other words, he considered not marrying her. He considered to quit and walk away from one of the most significant events that have ever happened on this planet. Think about that for just a moment. See, that's what happens when we respond to the unexpected things in our life negatively. We can get angry, we can quit, we can walk away, or we can do what Joseph did, not what he thought. He thought about quitting, but that's not what he did. And we're gonna learn today from what he did and how we can keep pressing forward and see God do amazing things in our life. Let's keep reading. It says it this way in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. It says, as he considered this, putting her away, walking away from the hard stuff, as he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. In other words, I know you're facing a difficult moment. I know you're facing an unexpected event. I know that you're facing something you never dreamed would happen. I know you were thinking you were gonna get married and live life happily ever after, and this has happened, but Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The Bible goes on to say, all of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, the Bible says he did. Everybody say did.
Did.
He did as the angel of the Lord commanded. And he took Mary as his wife, but he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born. And then Joseph watched the miracle, and Joseph participated with the miracle, and Joseph named him Jesus. This story is significant because an unlikely thing happened. God became human, put on flesh, came and was birthed out of a woman's womb, born in a manger in lowly Bethlehem, grew up, went to a cross, defeated death, rose from the grave, and he's known as the Savior of the world. But it was God with us. And again, this is an unlikely, unexpected event that happened in two people's life, Mary and Joseph, that had incredible power to reach beyond them, and amazing things happen in people's life for generations and generations. You know, it was very unexpected. Nobody was expecting God to put on skin. Now, you and I, we live on the other side of the cross. We live on the other side of the resurrection of Christ. We live on the other side of the ascension of Christ. However, and we can look back and we can know that this Christ was Jesus, okay? But what happened in that day and age, nobody was expecting God to show up in the flesh. It was very unexpected, much less to a little teenage girl and a guy that were planning to get married and be born to Mary and Joseph. You know what, in this period of time, nobody was expecting it. And the Bible says Joseph wanted to put Mary away, but he didn't do it. Look what it says in verse 20. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. In other words, Joseph didn't do, he didn't react to what he wanted to do. He stopped and he slept on it. And that's my encouragement I want to give you today. If something unexpected has happened in your life, don't just react. Our normal circumstances is to react to whatever has happened. Instead of use wisdom and stop and think about what had happened. Whether it's good or bad, you know what? That's wisdom from God's word. Stop and begin to meditate, sleep on what has happened, and then wake up and make a decision. Because oftentimes, you know what? Instead of stopping and considering what all has happened, we just move forward without consulting with God at all. Joseph, he doesn't do what he wanted to do. You remember the Bible says there that he wanted to put her away quietly. He wanted to get rid of her. That's what he wanted to do. How many times have we wanted to do something when an unexpected event showed up in our life and, you know, we did it and we wish we wouldn't have done it? In other words, we made a decision because something unexpected showed up. And then we didn't stop and think about it. We reacted, and because we reacted, it just caused more things to happen and snowball into a deeper and deeper place. Happens in people's life all the time, doesn't it? That's why whenever someone's clothes catch on fire, they say this. They say what? Say it with me. Say it like you know if your clothes caught on fire, you'd do it, okay? Let's say it together. Stop, drop, and roll. Why? Because if you run, the flames intensify and you burn up. And why do they tell you that when you're young before your clothes catch on fire? Why do they plant that inside of you? Because if they ever do, your natural reaction is going to be to what? to run. And so you have to train your mind. If I run, it's gonna intensify the flames. I got to drop if I can, and I got to roll, and I gotta put the fire out. And what some of us need to understand is oftentimes good and bad, unexpected things come up. But as those things come up, we have to stop and consider those things. And if we will stop and consider those things in light of who God is, then possibly God could use those things to build something in us that would forever change our life. But oftentimes we go with our feelings instead of our faith, don't we? See, Joseph didn't go with his feelings. I mean, his reputation was on the line because this young teenage girl who was a virgin showed up in this circumstance, in this situation, and nobody in his neighborhood or his city would have thought a whole lot about him if he had embraced her in this particular culture. And Joseph had to make a decision. He had to make a decision, what am I gonna do? And he was a good guy, but this unexpected thing happened, so he considered what to do, and God showed up through an angel and began to speak to him. What I wanna encourage you to do is when things happen, not to run away from God. I see people do this all the time. But stop and make your way towards God and see what God can do. He can speak into your circumstance. He can speak into your situation. We've all had horrific things happen. I've had them happen. I've lost loved ones. I've been in broken relationships, okay? I've you know, wanted to snuff out the pain through all kinds of things in my life. But I'm learning that if I'll stop when things happen and I'll begin to first and foremost consult with God, he can get me on the right track and head me in the right direction. But not only do I need to stop, I need to listen. Everybody say listen. Yes. See, Joseph didn't just stop. Look what the Bible says. It says this, it says in Matthew 20 and 21, it says, as he considered, this angel, the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid. Don't get angry, don't run, don't hide. To take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son. And Joseph, you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, what if Joseph would have got up and not listened to what God said through the angel to him? Joseph would have missed that first Christmas. See, I wonder how many times God is speaking to us, but we have selective hearing and we're not listening to God. Because, see, we can hear something and know that it's right, but not listen and step towards it. And see, God wants us to listen to what he has to say. And what I've discovered is most of the time, God does things contrary than my plan. In other words, my ways seem to think one way, but God typically shows up and does it a different way. God begins to show up and do it in a way that I never dreamed about or thought about. Joseph, he stopped and he listened. The Bible says this. It says, God says it this way in Psalm 46, verse 10. It says, be still and know that I am God. But see, what most of us do, instead of hitting the pause button, we hit the panic button, don't we? And because we hit the panic button, we don't listen. Oh my gosh, we may not be able to buy Christmas presents this Christmas. What are we gonna do? Stop. Listen to your heavenly Father and begin to see what he wants to do. Maybe he's gonna show up in your family this Christmas in an unlikely way. But you're choosing to listen to all the negative things and all the chaotic things around you. And we hit the panic button and we begin to think about, how am I gonna fix this? How am I gonna change it? That's how I usually respond. When something negative happens, I wanna step up and I wanna fix the problem. Because that's what I wanna do. Because I oftentimes think I'm in control. where I'm learning that oftentimes I can't fix circumstances and situations. But what I can do is I can listen to God and I can trust his voice and what he wants to do and begin to move towards it. But, you know, I would believe that there's a lot of people like me probably sitting in this room. In other words, you're a fixer. You want to fix this or fix that, or you want somebody else to fix it. And God says, no, we're not going to fix that. We're going to use that to do bigger and better things. Because I would think that Joseph could have argued with God or the angel of the Lord when he said, you take Mary as your wife because a child within her is conceived by the Holy Spirit. Let me fix this, God. God, we can fix this. Everybody won't think we're crazy and nutty if I'll just go ahead and have sexual relations with her and they can say that I got her pregnant and we fix that. But Joseph, he listened to God, he trusted God, and he stepped into the difficult moment. And he did what God said. And great things began to happen in Joseph's life, Mary's life, and many other people's life down through the generations because Joseph chose to listen. See, when unexpected things happen in our life, we can get angry, we can quit, we can walk away, or we can do what Joseph did, not what he wanted to do. We can stop, we can listen. And not only do we need to listen, then God desires for us to trust. This is where it gets hard because we can stop and we can know what God's word says. We can listen and we can hear what God's word says. But what requires faith is to step forward and trust what God's word says, even when you can't see it. See, that's what faith is. It's hoping that God is going to do what he says he's going to do and he's going to fulfill what he says he'll fulfill. And so Joseph didn't only stop, he didn't only listen, he trusted. Look what it says. The Bible says, do not be afraid. And Joseph wasn't. It says it this way in Matthew chapter 1, verses 24 and 25. It says, when Joseph woke up, he did. Everybody say did. He did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took Mary as his wife, but he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born. Oftentimes when God speaks, when he speaks through circumstances, he speaks through people, he speaks through difficult moments, he speaks through mountaintops. People will stop. They will listen, but oftentimes they won't trust him to keep moving forward. One of the greatest examples of lack of trust is the story of God rescuing a group of people from Egyptian slavery for 400 years. They were known as the Israelites. God stepped in a very difficult situation and he began to put pressure on the Egyptian leader, Pharaoh. He began to put pressure on him. And because of that pressure, what happens is Pharaoh decides, look, I need to let God's people go because God's coming against me. God's hand came against Pharaoh. The people of Egypt were released from that bondage, from that slavery. And they began to move towards a land that God spoke of that he would give them called the Promised Land. And so they stopped and they listened to God. In other words, they were saved from the hand of Pharaoh. And what God wants us to understand today is if God says, if we'll respond to his great love that he shows through Christ Jesus, you know what? He'll save us from bondage, from slavery, from sin. That's what Jesus came for. At least that's what he told Joseph he was coming for. He wasn't coming to stay in a manger. He was coming to get out of the manger. He was coming to grow up and give his life voluntarily on a cross so humanity could have hope and they could begin to have life and have it abundantly and have it to the full and have it eternally. He came to forgive people of their sins. Come on, somebody. And the Bible says that the moment you trust Christ, the resurrected Christ, you believe in, he came to forgive you of your sin. The Bible says he will rescue you from the penalty of sin. He'll pull you out of bondage. He'll pull you out of Egypt, okay? But the reality of it is this. He pulls you out. There's no longer a penalty for your sin. You know, no longer does the enemy have power over your sin. But God wants to take you into the promise. And guess what? Just because the enemy no longer can penalize you for your sin or has power over you with sin, you still have to trust God and keep moving towards the promise. And guess what? The Israelite people didn't. And you know what? They didn't experience the fullness of God in their life. What does this tell us? You can hear God. You can listen to God. You can be saved from your sin, but not experience the fullness of God in your life. See, the relationship God is looking for from you. From you. From you in the back. From me. And all across this side of the room. Is one that trusts him. Fully. And see, if we're really going to see God do amazing things in the unexpected of our life, we got to stop. We got to listen. But we also have to trust. The Bible says as the Israelites begin to move towards the promise, many of them wanted to go back. I wonder how many of us want to go back because unexpected things has happened. I don't know if you know it or not, but all the way along that journey, unexpected things happened to the Israelites, but God was still calling them forward. God was saying, press on, keep moving. Joseph had to trust God. He had to trust the voice of God, and he had to move forward. He had to get up, and he had to take Mary as his wife. And the Bible says he was obedient and did not have sexual relation with her until this baby was born. And then he named this baby, you know what, Jesus. He named him Emmanuel, God with us, because God stepped into the situation and the circumstance, did something unexpected, and he showed up and showed out, and he did a miracle. See, trusting God causes us not only to hear God's voice, it allows us to begin to watch a miracle. And I wonder how many of us today haven't seen a miracle happen in our life or through our life because we're watching for the miracle that we want instead of the miracle that God wants to do. Oh, that right there was so theologically deep you missed it. How many of us want to watch God do the miracle we want instead of the miracle that he wants to do? And the reason I say that is because the miracle God wants to do is so far beyond the miracle you want in your life. The miracle that God wants to do is he wants to bring peace into your heart. He wants to bring a connection to him for eternity. He wants to help you overcome every physical circumstance in your life, spiritually, in spite of the circumstances going on physically. But so many of us want God to do a physical miracle. We want God to fix a problem this week in this lifetime. I want you to understand something. The Bible says life is like a vapor. It is here today and gone tomorrow. And if you are so fixated on just what you are seeing today in this lifespan, in this generation, you are missing so much about the miracle hand of God. And so many of us want God to do a miracle, fix something right now. And God's saying, I'm doing a miracle. You're just not opening your eyes and seeing it. I'm doing bigger things than you ever dreamed about. Because I can bring you out of this circumstance and this situation, and the one who was born in a manger could be born in your heart, and I can let him grow up and do amazing things in and through you and shine my glory throughout the earth if you'll choose to follow me with your life and trust me each and every day. But I wonder how many of us are just looking for a, what I want to call a sub-miracle. God fix this. Bible says, this stuff right here, this flesh is fading away. But the spirit inside of me is being made new every single day. And I want you to trust in the God that's in you and not what you just physically see. Most of us physically see something and we're like, God, just fix her, fix him, fix this circumstance. And God's like, I'm at work, even when you don't think I'm working. I'm doing something that is simply amazing if you'll just keep trusting me. The Bible says we are to remain faithful to the end, not to be faithful just once, you know, one hit wonder kind of stuff. You know, it says remain faithful to the end. Keep trusting God. Keep moving forward. He is for you. He is not against you. If he has brought you out of Egypt and saved you from your sin, he'll carry you on the journey all the way to the promised land if you'll keep walking, keep marching, and watching what he'll do. And my friend, unexpected things are going to happen on the journey. They could happen today. They could happen tomorrow. They may have happened last week. Maybe you've lost a loved one. You know what? In your life. But can I tell you something? Though they're not physically here with you, if they have believed in the name of Jesus Christ, a bigger miracle has happened because now they are at home with him in their spirit, and they are alive and they're well and they're healthy and they're new. And my friends, it's opening your eyes to spiritual things. It's opening your eyes beyond here and now. It's raising your eyes to heavenly treasures and heavenly things in your eternal home. It's receiving the spiritual blessings that come from heaven. And so many of us, we want Christmas just to be about a trinket. And God says, no, it's about me giving my one and only son so he can grow up and give you eternal life so you can be a vessel for me and I can do amazing things through you. My friends, God's inviting us in to an amazing journey. Unexpected challenges will show up, but what we've got to learn to do is not to get angry, not to get upset, not walk away, not quit. We've got to learn to stop, listen, trust, and watch the miracle. Christmas may be the season that God is going to begin to do something amazing in us and through us if we will choose to trust him. Let me pray for you today. God, you're an amazing God. I thank you for every man, woman, boy, and girl here. God, I thank you for sending Jesus to be birthed in that manger, to grow up and go to a cross, defeat death, rise from the grave to give us eternal life. God, thank you for doing something unexpected, doing something none of us in this room could do. You gave your life for the sin of humanity. And God, I thank you for that today. And if there's one here today that is trusting themselves, God, I pray today they would trust your gift of salvation. My friend, if you're here today and you never put faith in who Jesus is, he's inviting you into a journey. He's inviting you to not just trust what you can do or what you can't do. He's inviting you to trust what he's already done on a cross. And he come to this earth to save people from their sin. And you just say, God, today I put my faith in you. I trust, God, that you are bringing me out of my sin. I trust, Jesus, you forgive me and you're gonna empower me and I'm gonna keep walking with you from this day forward. Just tell God, thank you for the resurrection. thank you for Christ and thank you for your new home. And tell God from this point forward, you just want to follow him. My friend, you know, it's a commitment that we all need to make. And again, trust is a commitment. And God's asking us to step in that and keep moving forward. There's going to be things that come along that want us to be unfaithful, but may we be people of faith. May we encourage each other to be faithful towards Christ and all we do as we begin to watch him unfold amazing things in and through our life as unexpected things come along. God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for this season. And we pray, Jesus, all of these prayers in your most holy and precious name. Amen.